Sherrod Blakely, NBA writer for Bleacher Report. Sherrod, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I appreciate being here. Now, I must admit, when I was told in advance that you guys were doing a little whack job on a song, I didn't realize it would be that song. I thought you guys were going to go with Boys to Men, End of the Road. Because when I think about the lyrics to that song, lyrics like We Belong Together and You Know That I'm Right, you got to be believing Tim was feeling that way after going from the Boston Celtics to OKC, which is in total rebuild mode right now.
It is. So I where did it go wrong with Kemba in Boston? How did we get here in 2 years?
I'll tell you. It's literally as simple as health. I mean, you guys were fortunate to have Kemba at a time when he was able to play through pretty much anything and everything health-wise. And to his credit, I mean, he was the Iron Man of Iron Men in the NBA. When you look at the amount of mileage that his body went through and his ability to play at such a high level. And you had the feeling that at some point, all that wear and tear would catch up with him. And it did in Boston. Kemba simply could not stay healthy enough on the floor for the Celtics to really feel as though they were getting their money's worth and that the team was getting better. It became very challenging from a continuity standpoint, from a chemistry standpoint, and just overall end-of-the-day production standpoint. And so that was a big part of why the Celtics were even entertaining the idea of trading Kemba, because you guys know Kemba is just such a good guy. It's hard to find anyone in the NBA that doesn't like him. But the one thing that Kemba understands all too well, and most guys in the league do, it's a business, and you need to be productive. And if there are circumstances that are preventing you from doing that, either teams are going to move you ASAP, or they're going to try to manage it, which they tried to do, and it wasn't working. And so that's why Kemba's on a move to OKC.
Hey, Sherrod, Stan Fleet here, man. Appreciate you again. So here's what I don't understand about Boston Celtics fans. Right, and maybe this ties into
I'm gonna tell you right now before you ask the question. That's a lot of luggage you're trying to unpack.
But fair. And one segment isn't gonna allow us to do it. But some of the fans, they were disgruntled with Gordon Hayward, and you know the unfortunate injury there, and that's separate from this. But like, okay, Kemba had a knee issue. He still made the All-Star team there last season. You know, he was still in the conference finals. He's still a productive player when on the floor. Do they forget how dysfunctional things were a year before Kemba got there when you were dealing with Kyrie's crazy bleep?
Yeah, they do forget. And that's not that unusual. You know, it's what are you doing for me now? And a lot of folks forget about what Kemba did, you know, last year and what he did in Charlotte and think more about what he didn't do this past year, when they had a number of guys that were impacted by COVID, and Kemba either couldn't play or they were just kind of load managing his minutes. Kemba didn't play in any back-to-back this year, and that's very unusual for a player who should be, you know, he's your max guy, one of your max guys. And bringing in Al Horford and sending Kemba out, for them makes a lot of sense because it strengthens their front court. It gives them a player that, from a health standpoint, is a little bit more reliable. And for and they save money. I mean, let's not get it twisted. That's a big part of why they made this particular trade, is that it's going to give them some salary flexibility sooner rather than later by doing this. And they're getting a young player in Moses Brown from Oklahoma City, who had damn near 20 rebounds in the first half when they played Boston Celtics. So they feel they're getting a good player, a more durable player, a young prospect, and it comes at the cost of Kemba. But look, the thing about Kemba, and again, I can't reiterate this enough, Kemba's a hard dude to not have some kind of feelings that this just wasn't right for him, that he's not getting an opportunity to be in a situation that someone who's done as much as he has should get that opportunity, which is why I think Kemba will be on the move again. Don't be shocked by the time we get to the start of next season that Kemba's playing for the Knicks. I absolutely think that will happen.
Sherrod Blakely, NBA writer for the Bleacher Report on the Technicom Hotline, breaking down what went wrong in Boston. That's a tasty nugget there on the Kemba thing to New York, and we'll get to that, I'm sure, before the end of this conversation. But if we look at what happened at the end of the playoffs for Boston, or the play-in tournament, rather, Danny Ainge steps aside, Brad Stevens moves up to be the GM there. Now he's searching for what seems to be an assistant coach to come be the head coach in Boston. How did this all come to fruition, and what is your faith that Brad Stevens can be a good, great, better than that NBA GM?
Well, I think the one thing that jumps out right away is that Brad's going to be decisive. I mean, you look around, no one is making trades at this point in the season. Typically, you know, we're at least able to get past the combine before teams start to really start making some moves and things like that. So Brad has shown already that he's going to be very decisive and not just kind of dilly-dally about his business. I think he can be a good one, but there is, like any other job, like any other profession, there's going to be a learning curve. And how quickly he can navigate that is going to determine how quickly he can be, I think, a good GM. But he's also, I think, a pretty good start. The coaching search that you mentioned, it does appear as though they're looking to bring in an assistant. And I think that they're looking to do that for two reasons. One, it's just cheaper. It's much cheaper to hire someone with no NBA head coaching experience or limited head coaching experience as opposed to someone who's been in the game for, you know, 5-10 years as a head coach. So it's cheaper. And it also gives them a chance to really mold this coach in their role with a team that is also kind of being molded. I mean, you got Jason Tatum, you got Jaylen Brown, and then you're still trying to figure out exactly what does it look like around those guys. So they have the ability to bring in a head coach who can both work with this team that's basically like a big blob of clay, but you got two really nice parts of that in Jaylen Brown and Tatum. So that's why I think for them it makes a lot of sense to go with an assistant coach as the next head coach of the Celtics.
That's the voice of A. Sherrod Blakely, NBA writer, NBA writer for the Bleacher Report, if I can get it out, Boston Sports Journal, as well as Ebony.com, A-list podcast, and a lecturer at Boston University, talking Kemba Walker's trade from the Celtics to Oklahoma City today and what the hell is going on in Boston. Mr. Blakely.
I said, yes, sir.
I text with a longtime NBA man last night, and I asked him, of the jobs that are currently available, what he thought was the best job. Because we've got a coach in James Rego that's just had his fourth year extended.
Yeah.
Boston and Dallas were tied for first in this particular personnel's man. I asked you. This personnel man's mind says Boston and Dallas. Is Boston the best open job, or is this a trap?
I would say, and again, I'll explain why I'm saying Boston, and you'll understand why I'm picking them. When you are an NBA head coach and it's your first time doing a job, you want to have the best team possible. And when I look at the openings out there, no one has two All-Stars under the age of 25 other than Boston. So right then and there, you know you're getting two legitimate high-impact players from the jump. Would not be surprised if Jason Tatum is the leading scorer in the NBA next season. He's got that type of versatility in his game from an offensive standpoint. And Jaylen Brown, yes, he had the wrist surgery during the playoffs last year, and he may miss some early parts of the season. But he's going to be a high-impact player as well. So that, for me, more than anything else, is why I say the Celtics are probably the most attractive job because of the core pieces they have in tow right now and the fact that you're working with a GM who is probably going to be a little bit more malleable to whatever it is you want to do and is going to be a little bit more open-minded to your ideas and suggestions as a head coach, because just like you're learning how to do the job, he too is learning how to do the job. And I think for a young coach, I think that can be to their benefit because, again, it creates a much more open line of dialogue. And with you being the one that this new GM, Brad Stevens, is hiring, there is going to be increased pressure on him to make sure he gets it right and that he's doing everything he can to help support his coach. So I think Boston is the most attractive position that's open right now because of all of those reasons.
Sherrod, looking at the NBA at large, one of the things we're trying to figure out here in Charlotte is just what names, what tangible names are going to be out there this offseason, because there doesn't appear to be a James Harden, right? Or like when we start talking about the top 50 players in the NBA, as of right now, there doesn't seem to be clarity on that. So what names? And again, top 50, it doesn't have to be James, it doesn't have to be Bradley Beal, but what names could be on the move this offseason?
Well, I think one name to keep an eye on, and again, it's one of those pie in the sky type things, and I don't think he's going to switch teams, but it could very well happen, is Chris Paul. He has the ability to opt out of his contract and hit the free agent market, and he's looking for a multi-year deal. And even though his age may scare a lot of teams off, he's 36 years old. You look at his play, you look at his production, and most important, you look at the impact that he makes. And if there's ever a time to pay someone in their mid to late 30s, you know, $35 million a year, Chris Paul is the guy to do that with. So I would not be surprised if he becomes the biggest name to find themselves a new home. Another name to keep an eye on, I would say, is DeMar DeRozan, who has been a legitimate 20-point-per-game scorer throughout the course of his career. Kyle Lowry, I think, will re-sign with Toronto, but that's another one to definitely keep an eye on. And once you get past those guys, you know, Mike Conley, I think I mentioned Mike Conley as well, Kawhi Leonard, the pickings get really slim. And then you run the risk of paying top-tier dollar for middle-class talent. And that's something you just don't want to do if you're an NBA team. We've seen what that looks like, and it's never pretty. So this is not the year to have a significant number of needs at the top of your roster. If you're looking to fill in here and there, great year to do that because there's a lot of guys that can meet that need.
Follow this man on Twitter right now, A. Sherrod Blakely. That's at A. Sherrod Blakely. You know him as an NBA writer for the Bleacher Report. Sherrod, great stuff. And I can tell you from the guy who wrote the song Coming In, he likes you because you said his work was fun. And that's all that really matters to him or us.
Not a problem. It's great catching up with you guys. I mean, having spent 5 years down in Raleigh, North Carolina, I am very familiar with the Queen City and what it has to offer. So you guys do a good job. Great talking with you guys.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you, Sherrod.
There on the Bleacher Report, or on the Bleacher Report on the Technicom Hotline. Really, really great dude and great at what he does. A lot to get into still, Stan, but Sports Radio WFNC has an all-new updated app. Go to your iTunes or Android app store, type in Sports Radio WFNC and download. It's that easy. Hear the latest on the Hornets and Panthers, plus get more sports news in our social feed. Get connected, and stay updated with Sports Radio FNZ. And we doubted the Bucks. We doubted the Bucks could do it, but yet they did it. Next on Sports Radio FNZ.